Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Peter, who was a Jew and an apostle, being taught by a vision that he was to go to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and preach the gospel of Christ. Now, of course, preaching the gospel of Christ is the function of gospel preachers. Now, how the gospel is received, that's a responsibility of the hearer. And Jesus taught, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." But the parable of the sower depicts the different kinds of soil into which the seed of the kingdom falls. Peter was told to go preach, but to a Gentile? Yes, because the gospel is for all. And when Peter reached the house of Cornelius, Cornelius was asked, "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for, and I ask therefore, for what intent have ye sent for me?" You know, preachers come before congregations, and in reality, they're asking the same question. We know why some want a preacher. It's for the same reason that Cornelius wanted one. But one wonders sometimes why some people want a preacher, any preacher at all. With sincerity, we ask you, why do you want a preacher if you want one? It is a fair question for any congregation. It's a fair question for any person to seriously consider. What do you expect of the one who preaches to you? Now, there are some things you have a right to expect. And there are some things you do not have the right to expect. Before you draw conclusions as to what you can expect and what you have a right to receive, you need to be familiar with what the Bible teaches a gospel preacher is supposed to do. Now, some preachers, of course, want to be figureheads. They want to be ornaments for a local church. And some want a preacher to do their visiting for them. Some want a preacher so they can introduce him to their friends. Some want him to attend all the community functions as a representative of the local church. And they want the preacher to form their weddings and to preach their funerals. And some want it to simply give respectability to their church because other churches have preachers. They have their clergymen, and they want the preacher to sort of fill that role. And some want the preacher simply to act as sort of a master of ceremonies at the formal worship services. The preacher and his family are expected to be very pleasant, regardless of the circumstances. He, of course, is supposed to be discreet where he goes and what he does, what he says, how he dresses, the kind of car he drives, and such as that. Many preachers are criticized severely in those very particular matters. Some want him to be sort of the jolly public relations man in the community and sort of a backslapper. Some prefer their preacher to be a comedian, a joke teller, an entertainer, more of an after-dinner speaker at club meetings and things like that. He's supposed to make the social rounds. Well, every member has a right to a preacher whose appearance is respectable, to be sure, and whose public conduct ought to be that which is acceptable, and that also of his members of his family, so that they will not bring reproach upon the church. But actually, what the membership expects of him along these lines, he and all the other members have a right to expect of every other member of the church. Too often people operate with a double standard. They operate one for themselves and another for other people, and especially a special one for preachers and for their families. Now, that is just simply a fact of life. Preachers don't deserve that kind of discriminatory treatment. They realize, however, that this comes with the work. This is what he has to receive. This is a part of what he does receive from some folks. But Peter's question, why have you sent for me? Now, he was not dealing with social functions and community appearances and club meetings and promotions and such as that, but on the subject of what Peter was to do in their presence regarding his preaching. This is the reason we're asking the question in this lesson. Why have you sent for the preacher? We're concerned with what people expect from the preacher when he gets up to preach. Now, the Bible is plain, dear friend, as to what God expects of him and what he is supposed to preach. But it is all too apparent that many of his hearers do not always want him to preach what God has commanded to be preached. The Bible is also very plain as to what some want to hear. They prefer sweet nothings that really don't question or challenge their lives. They want entertainment. They expect their preacher to be a big joker. Others want uncertain sounds, words that flatter, words that will tickle their ears, words that will soothe them in whatever they are doing, whether it be right or wrong, words that don't make any real distinction between truth and error. It is all too evident that sometimes their church members have a big do not disturb sign on their heart and on their life, and they resent anyone that doesn't respect that sign and disturbs them. Now, there are those who will occasionally tolerate the exposure of error, provided that error is not too specific, and provided that's not something of which they are guilty. And some complain they don't want any kind of negative preaching. You see, they're very negative toward negative preaching, and they want nothing particularly said against anything. Well, some people enjoy lessons dealing with things that they have already obeyed, but not matters of which they have no guilt. And they want those worded in such a way that if their friend or relative might be there, they don't want that friend or relative to be offended as to thinking they're lost. You know, some want baptism preached, provided you don't make the unbaptized feel that they need to be baptized or they're too wrong if they refuse. But experience has shown that preaching is the most resented, is the preaching that deals with Christian living, the necessity of being a faithful steward before God, the need to conduct daily life in a manner consistent with the gospel, putting first things first. Those kind of sermons don't always sit well with everybody. This is what rubs many members of the church the wrong way. They don't like lessons on the necessity of living in a Christ-like fashion. Now, we want to take a long and sober look at the answer Cornelius gave to Peter when Peter asked, "Why have you sent for me?" Cornelius said, "Wherefore we are all here present before God to hear all things commanded thee of God." Now, what did he want to hear? He had been told to send for Peter, and Peter would preach to him. What did he want to hear? He sent for Peter, so Peter would preach to him what God wants man to know. He was hungering and thirsting for what God wants man to do and what God wants man to be. Now, he didn't have any idea right at that particular time when he sent for Peter what all that might involve, what that would include. But he knew that's what he wanted to learn. He wanted the simple, plain, unvarnished, uncolored, unchanged truth of God. He wanted God's will to be taught. Now, here was a man who was open to conviction. He was yearning for the truth. He was concerned about his soul and his relationship to God. And friend, I ask you, What do you want your preacher to preach? Do you really want to hear God's will? Now search your heart and let's be honest about our answer. Is this what you expect the preacher to deliver? And if he does, is that what you really want? This is what you have a right to expect. But too often the preacher will do just exactly that and only later to find out that's not what some wanted to hear. And often the preacher is subjected to attacks. Christ was, the apostles were, battered with irrelevant lies, misquoted, misrepresented, bombarded with half-truths, any and all kind of criticism and accusations, just so that his message will be minimized in the eyes of some. Some preachers have been made the targets of vicious gossip because sinful brethren rejected the truth that he believed and taught. They could not stand the truth, and they needed to get the preacher. That's what happened to John the Baptist, wasn't it? His head was cut off because of that. And to say such attacks as that don't hurt the preacher, why, that'd be unrealistic. Yes, it hurts. There is no hurt as severe as those who should stand for the truth, and who promised to stand for the truth, who pledged to stand for the truth, but change their minds and do not stand for the truth, but turn and rend the preacher who stands for the truth. It's no easy thing to be the victim of tirades against those who will want to stand for the truth of God at all costs. Friend, would you expect a preacher to teach sprinkling as baptism? If you do, you don't want the Bible. You want immersion because that's what the Bible teaches. But some don't want preaching like that. They want preaching that you can have it either way. Why do you talk down a preacher and criticize him when he teaches that one must be a member of the church to be saved? That's what the Bible teaches. Why do some object when we teach that the church is not a denomination? Why, the Bible never mentions a denomination. Isn't the preacher supposed to preach the Bible? And if he does, there's no denomination whatsoever that's mentioned in all of its pages that he could proclaim. Why object to preachers that preach one must be baptized to be saved? That's what the Bible teaches. Is that the truth that you want? Would you expect the preacher to teach the observance of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Why, yes. Why? Why, that's what God's truth teaches. Some don't want that, however. They want to partake of it once a quarter or once a semester or on certain special occasions. Why do people cringe sometimes and rebel when the preacher teaches on cheerfully, liberally, willingly giving according to one's prosperity? Is that not the truth also? Friend, if we really want to hear the whole counsel of God, we won't ever cause a disturbance in the church when the preacher preaches and denounces the sins of the flesh, like drinking alcoholic beverages, the modern lascivious dance, the immodest clothing which is so rampant in our society today, smoking and gambling and lying and committing adultery, and teaching the truth concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, one man, one woman for one life. Some don't like that. What do you expect out of your preacher? Do you want the preacher to preach, "Thus saith the Lord," book, chapter, and verse? Cornelius was asked, "Why have you sent for me?" Each one of us need to ask ourselves when we hear and listen to a preacher, what do we expect him to tell us? Do we want the will of God? This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd.